Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. So glad, so happy. We thank God for another Tuesday night Bible study here at Praise Tabernacle Church. And we honor God for you listening in, for you being a part of our Tuesday night Bible study. And we pray, as always, that God will, that something will be said tonight, that God will use our leaders on tonight to speak something into your life that'll be life-changing and life-encouraging. Once again, we want you to look up, be encouraged. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're just so grateful to be yet in the land of the living. Amen. On tonight, we have our leadership staff, Elder Victor Blewett. He's in with us tonight. Lady Evangelist Dove Stanton, she's here tonight. We missed her on last week, and we're so grateful that she's back with us. She had to take time away to bereave and to bury and take care of her father. So we solicit that you continue to pray for her in the loss of her father. Also, we have my precious wife. She's on tonight, Lady Pamela Zachary, and we have a special treat. We got Mr. Chaos himself on tonight that's going to be leading us in Bible study. Y'all know who he is, Mr. Chaos himself. That's Elder Derek Oliver, the newest member of our leadership team, and we're so grateful to God to have him a part of our staff. Well, not going to delay what's getting ready to take place. We're going to say a quick prayer, and then the next voice you hear will be that of Elder Derek Oliver, Mr. Chaos himself. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We appreciate you for another day. You brought us through another work day for some. For others, may have been a day of relaxing and refreshing. But we just thank you. We give you glory because there's none like you. As we enter into this Bible study, we pray that you would touch our hearts and minds. Let something be said on tonight that will reach every listener, wherever he or she may be, all over the country. God, we pray that you be glorified. We don't desire any credit. We don't desire any glory, but we want you to be glorified through everything that we do. We want you to be glorified in our lives. And we ask you tonight to purify our hearts, purify our minds, that we can be more like you. That way, when the world sees us, they will see you in us. And it's in Jesus' matchless name that we pray and we thank you. And every heart say, amen. All right, Elder Derek, all of the service is in your hands, my brother.
Amen. Thank you, opening us up in prayer. And I just want to say good evening to everyone that's listening. Either you're on the phone or through Blog Talk Radio. I just want to say good evening, and I'm gonna try to teach. You know, I'm really a preacher at heart, and I really be trying to teach, but I get excited, so I'm going to apologize beforehand. I got a lot to be excited about, so I just, when I read the scriptures, it just jumps at me, and, you know, I just let the Lord have his way, and so I apologize if I get a little out of hand tonight, but I'm really going to try to teach because I got notes and stuff, and I'm doing a lot of studying. And when you do study, it seems like the devil want to hit you right before you go on the air. And, you know, I'm going to title this Making Sense Out of Nonsense. Around me a lot of times before you get ready to teach, I don't know if other preachers, teachers go through this, but a lot of nonsense can happen right before you got to do the word of God. And you got to make sense of nonsense.
Yes, sir.
So tonight, the word I'm going to use tonight, very familiar scripture. I'm going to be coming out of Luke, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to be out of the NIV version tonight, 11 through 17. I'm going to read that in a second. I just want to give a breakdown on what we're going. I got a few points I want to make tonight, and then I'm going to let the team have their comments in case I know I'm going to miss some things, so they'll be having my back to clean me up. But we serve, and the Lord has been putting in my spirit every time I preach to be very simple, because salvation is very simple. And the way Jesus moves sometimes is very simple. We ain't got to be deep with it. We don't have to be flex with it. If we just keep it simple the way Jesus instructed us to do, we will be all right. And people will be able to receive what we have to say easier. So tonight, for the listening people that are listening, I know there's people out there listening, make this real simple for you. I'm not going to hoop holler. There ain't a lot of tricks to it. It's strictly right there. It's going to be in these verses. I'm going to break it down for you, and hopefully we can be able to get something out of this. And like I said, I'm gonna name this Making Sense Out of Nonsense. And here we go. I'm going to start from Luke 7, chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came night to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And when he came and touched the bier, and they bare him, stood still, and said, Young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they were glorified, saying, The great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judah and throughout all of the region around about. And I'm going to take my time and go with the scriptures here, because there's some stuff in here I want to unpack. I like to use that word because there's a lot of stuff in here. And here's this woman who lost her only son, the Bible says. Her only son, she had lost him, and they were having a funeral for him. And they were going out of name, and Jesus was coming in the name. And it was Jesus and the disciples and a great multitude of people that was around Jesus, so there was a big crowd around Jesus. This woman lost her son, and they were going to bury him, and it was a great amount of people around her to support her as they were going out of name. And these two groups of people meet up with each other. And this woman that lost her son, also, the Bible says she was a widow. So she had been down this road before. She had buried her husband, and now she was burying her son. And back in those days, if the woman would lose her husband, it was the son's job to take care of the family. So
come
you
on,
can
work,
imagine
work,
how she was feeling because she lost her husband, and now she didn't lost her son. She couldn't make sense
come
of
on.
None of this. And the people was taking the baby, the boy, to the cemetery to entomb him. And something happened. Jesus came and saw her. Verse 13, I want you to understand what it says in verse 13, and I'm going to be a little around these scriptures a little bit, but in verse 13, and it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said unto her, weep not. My first point is, and this is for everyone that's going through something, it don't necessarily have to be a death. You could be in a dead situation. You could be in a dead job. Whatever the situation is going through, watch what Jesus is my first point. Jesus is deeply affected by our predicament. I'm going to say that again. Jesus is deeply affected by our predicament. The things
sir.
That we're going through affects Jesus.
Yes, sir.
This is what affects you. He was walking into Nain, saw this woman and the processional going on, and he was affected by what was going on. He felt some type of way. And by him feeling some type of way, he told her, don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
Not to cry. Now, this isn't anybody
mm-hmm.
talking. This isn't the disciples talking. This isn't the pastor talking. This is Jesus talking. And when Jesus
yes,
says
sir.
Not to cry, look at the situation. She lost her son. You could only imagine that might have been something that was insensitive to say when you lost something that you loved. And
okay.
you were in the middle of a dead thing. You were getting ready to put him in the tomb. And Jesus tells her, don't cry. Weep not. What I'm telling a lot of y'all tonight that's in dead situations, they got situations going on that you can't make sense out of, hold up. Jesus ain't got there yet, but he's coming. And when he came, he was affected by what
okay.
she was going with. And when
okay.
he saw her, he said, weep not. Now, I'm not saying that if you're going through something, I'm going to tell you not to cry because I'm not Jesus. You see, I can't do anything to rise the dead. I can't do that. Only Jesus can. And we can't be so
uh-huh.
quick to make a decision like a dead situation, like, okay, there's nothing else I can do until Jesus shows up. Jesus was showing
yes.
up. Jesus was a crowd of people. She had a crowd. And when he saw her, he had compassion for her. And he told her, don't cry. Dry your eyes.
Yes, Lord.
And what happens is, when Jesus does that, this is what he's doing. He is heightening the expectations. He said, hold up now. I understand what's going on. That means he's telling you something getting ready to happen. And what I'm saying is, I understand
yes.
that we're going through situations. Something is getting ready to happen. Jesus
yes,
is heightening
Lord.
The expectations of the people now. He got their attention now. He's heightening up. Don't cry. You got to understand, this was a funeral. Everything was already done. They didn't already preach the funeral. All they had to do was entomb him and put him in there
mm-hmm.
and go back home and have a fellowship. You know, like we do at all funerals. After you go to the funeral, you put the body at the grave, you go back to the church, and you have fellowship. Eat some chicken and some green beans, drink that red soda pop and a piece of cake, and fellowship. But Jesus had something else on his mind. He stopped the processional, and then he did something that heightens the situation. He told her, don't cry. Jesus, throughout the Bible, used phrases. Some of the phrases Jesus uses is have faith in God. Don't be afraid. And one of the ones I like is he uses, don't concentrate on what you see. Just listen to what I say. And I'll cure what you see. I'm going to say that again. Don't concentrate on what you see. See, a lot of times you see a funeral session going on here. You see it. It's already done, the dead situation. Or it doesn't even have to be a funeral. It could be a dead situation that you're in. It could be on your job. It could be with your family. It could be with anybody. But he's saying don't concentrate on what you see. Just listen to what I say. Don't cry. Dry your eyes. Because I can conquer what you can see. Only Jesus. You got to understand who's talking here. This is Jesus talking. And he's heightening up the situation. Matter of fact, if you want to, I'm going to pause for a minute. He's just getting ready to show out. Because he's getting ready to show the people who he really is. That no matter what the situation can be, if you trust in him and just listen to him, and this is very important. That's why I want to go back to the basics. If we can just listen to what Jesus say, our lives will be so much easier. Even though the situation seems like it's a dead-like situation, if you can just listen to what Jesus say, he can heal that dead situation.
Yes, sir.
So it's very important that we got to understand that my first point, like I was saying, Jesus is deeply affected by our predicament. Then what Jesus does, I just want to read what he does. He touches, I believe it's in 15 or 14, and he came and he touched the bier, the coffin. And everyone stood still and said, young man, I say unto you, arise. Jesus is speaking to a dead situation. He put his hands on it. And when Jesus puts his hands on something, look what happens. The young boy sat up. It didn't take all of that. They didn't have to go through a whole bunch of rituals. Only thing that happened was he told the woman, stop weeping, dry your eyes. He touched the coffin or the bier that the boy was laying in and said, arise. And the boy rose up, said something, and Jesus gave him to the mother. Now, I want to stop and see if anyone want to say anything right here before I move on, because I feel myself getting happy.
Amen, amen. I'd like to say something real quick before the rabbi and pastor and everybody all jump in. Compassion, it's really something that you use in this set of scriptures today. I have been looking at the word sympathy and empathy. And when you have sympathy for someone, you have pity on something that they're going through. But when you have empathy for someone, you share in their pity for what they're going through.
Come on.
So, you know, people can say, you know, I sympathize with you, but they may not understand exactly what you're going through because they haven't through it. But when somebody has empathy for you, they not only have pity, but they understand what you're going through. So that is a level of compassion a lot of people don't understand. And what I love about Jesus, because Jesus understands what we're going through, he not only has sympathy, but he has empathy for us. And usually when it comes to Jesus, because of that empathy, he's going to do something about it. That's all I have to say.
All right, now see, I was trying to be quiet while I'm out here getting my walk on, but y'all dealing with something. My mind goes to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 14 through 16. I'm going to read that, and then I'll be through. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's good. I got one comment. Chapter 7 of Luke is a great chapter in the book of Luke, because when it starts at verse 1, it talks about the centurion who asked presence of Jesus, who asked for the healing of Jesus. Then wherever Oliver is tonight in verse 7, talks about Jesus just coming onto the scene without being asked and supplying the things that the woman needed for her son. Then it goes to talk about John the Baptist, who he was, and how he set himself in life to do nothing other than to make the path of Jesus straight. Then before chapter 7 ends, it talks about a sinful woman, or Jesus forgives a sinful woman. So it's all wrapped up into to us not having to call out, he comes, having not to call out, and he comes, and having to forgive us for our sins when we need to be forgiven. Chapter 7 is rough. Chapter 7 is good. Chapter 7 speaks of the image of Jesus. Anybody can reach out. Anybody can have a need, and he's there, and anybody can preach his word, and anybody can be forgiven for their sins. You own it tonight, Elder. I appreciate you, man. You own it. There you go.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all. What Elder Blulett had said, I was using for my closing, but if you read from the chapter 1 to chapter 10, the Caesarean man sent for Jesus. And when Jesus was going to him, the man said, just send your word. You ain't got to come. Just send your word and my servant or my word will be healed. Sometimes you can send something to somebody. And if you believe, Jesus is just that awesome. He can send a word and it can change your whole situation if you believe. He can just send it. And some of the crowd that saw him do that was going with him when he was going into Nain. That's why it was a bunch of people. But I'm going to get to that in the end. But I want to focus on 14:15 real quick. And it says, and it came, and he touched the bier, and bear stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. I'm going to stop right there. Because Jesus requires that we adjust our position. Jesus requires that we adjust our position. That boy was laid in a coffin. He was laid out. His destiny had already, it was a done situation. When Jesus saw him, he did not want to leave him in that situation. So he touched him and he sat up. Time Jesus done this throughout the Bible. He don't want to leave us in the situation that we're in. And just so I got a little proof, I just got a little scriptures I want to use real quick or scenarios about when he don't want to leave us in the same situation that we're in. He does it throughout the Bible. In John 9, when he healed the blind man that was on the side of the road that didn't have his sight, he was born blind. And Jesus saw him begging, and Jesus went some mud on his eyes, and the man started to see. You see, he changed position. He didn't leave him in that position. So you got to understand, Jesus requires that we adjust our position. And there's another man. There's another man by the pool of the Lord. Jesus asked a question, do you want to be made whole? Because he was by the pool. He made excuses. Every time he tried to get in the pool, someone would get in for him. But you got to look, because he was by the pool. A lot of us is by the pool, but we don't want to get in the pool. Okay, I'm going to say that again. A lot of us are by the pool, but we don't want to get in the pool. And this man was making excuses. But Jesus said, pick up your bed and be made whole. That's another reason Jesus is telling us we have to adjust our position sometime. To the house of Jairus' daughter, there's another dead girl. Jesus was going over there. He was going over there. He went over there, and he told he had to clean the house up. He had to adjust the position of the house. He taught all the professional mourners to get out of the house.
Yes,
and he got up in there.
Yes, sir.
And spoke
yes,
to
sir.
The girl, and the girl rose up. It was nothing hard. It wasn't that simple. But everyone in the house had to get out of the house. So I just got a little nugget here for everyone. Everyone can't be around for your deliverance. Sometimes you got to get away from people in order for the Lord to come in to clean up everything. You have to adjust your position. You just can't lay there and sit there and expect Jesus to work out miracles. You have to adjust your position.
Amen.
I'm trying to teach this thing, but there's so much in it. Say, preach me, and I'm trying to be cool. In 16, it said, And there came a fear of all. Hold on a second. It says that the crowd, after the boy got up, were in awe. I think King James Version said they were in awe. They were in awe because the boy sat up, said something, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And the crowd that was with Jesus was in awe. The crowd that was with the woman was in awe. And this is going to bless a lot of people right here. Because the crowd was in awe. And then they said it went to glorify God. They began to praise the Lord after the boy sat up. And the crowd was in awe. When Jesus does a work, we must accomplish. When Jesus does a work, we must give him a praise after he does a work. And the crowd was at awe of what Jesus did. They were happy and they were celebrating what Jesus did by this young boy getting up. But the point I want to make about this is they were excited and happy and praising God, and it wasn't their miracle. That's
watch
when
out,
you know you're going up in Christ, is when you can praise the Lord
when
he ain't blessed you. When you can give him a holler and a shout when it ain't about you. Some people only shout when they get excited about what's going on in their life. But when somebody in their neighbor's life gets blessed, you ought to begin to give the Lord a praise. You ought to begin to give the Lord a shout, because the work of Jesus must be accomplished by our praise. When Jesus goes to work on our neighbor's life, we ought to give a praise. When Jesus does something in our life, we ought to give a praise. That's when you know you mature in Christ, is when you can praise for somebody else's blessing, when you can praise when your neighbor gets blessed, when you can praise him for when someone else gets a promotion on the job, when you can praise for when your family, someone gets a new house or a new car, and you can feel just as good as them because you know what's getting ready to happen. If he's blessing anybody in my circle, he must be in the neighborhood. That must mean I'm next. Okay, let me say this again. If Pastor go out and get a new truck, that must mean somebody in his circle is about to get something blessed too. Because Jesus just ain't going to bless one and don't bless everybody else. Just because I'm connected to someone that's blessed, I'm going to get caught in the overflow. See, I don't want to go too far into that, but you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we can just be, if we hang around the right people, we can be part of their overflow.
Right.
We can be part of the overflow. It's not that hard. It's not that simple. You don't have to do cartwheels in order to get blessings by God. If you hang around the right people who's going to do the right thing, the Lord will start blessing you when they bless them. So I just want to be around some brothers that's being blessed. I just want to be in the overflow. I don't need to have a whole cup deal, but if I can get some of the overflow. Okay, I'm going to slow down right there. I'm almost done. But I'm gonna see if anyone else got anything to say, because the shout part is getting ready to come up.
Elder, I'm thinking.
Come up.
Listen, you better not ask for the key of E flat and say the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. If you do, I'm coming to your house. All right, slow it down, slow it down. What I'm thinking about?
No, I'm not going to do that.
All right, don't you do that tonight. Now I'm thinking about when you see famous people, athletes, musicians, you know, even presidents and you know, people in politics, or politicians, should I say, rarely do you see that person by themselves. Normally, when you see them, they have what we call an entourage. And that entourage is not them, but because they are associated with that individual, wherever that individual goes, if he goes, I mean, I know we're talking about the church, I'm just using the worldly system. When he goes to the club, everyone that's with him goes on in also. He don't just go in and leave the bodyguard and his friends and his girlfriends or whoever he has with him. He don't go in and leave them in the car, or she don't go in and leave them in the car. They are going to participate in pretty much all the festivities that one individual is going to participate in. And that's even, like I said, that's even in the world, but it's symbolic to what you were just saying, even for the church. If you are associating yourself around the people that are doing the right thing and that God is blessing and delivering and bringing abundance, if you just stay connected, then some of that has to roll off on you. And I think you said it, it's the overflow. Okay, the overflow is not for the individual. The overflow is for those that are surrounding the individual. That's the reason it has to be an overflow, because the individual, if you take a bucket or a bowl and pour water in it, once you reach the brink, that means that bowl can't hold any more water. So whatever is around the bowl is now going to get the same effect, same water, or the same blessing that the bowl has. No more water can go in that bowl. So it has to go, even though you're pouring it in the bowl, it has to go to those that, or to whatever surface is under it or whatever surface is around it. So I'm like you. I just want to stay connected and stay close to the people that I feel and can see God is using, God has anointed, and God is blessing. So I'm like you on that. Thank you so much for this teaching tonight. That's it.
Amen. And with what Pastor was saying, I would come back and say, don't get out of position. And what I mean by that is, I can remember one time, right at the beginning or middle of the pandemic, you know, when everybody was going shopping and trying to get water and everything, I remember I had went to several different stores and the water was gone. And I ended up going to, I think it was a Walgreens or something, and there were like 20 people standing in line. So I asked the manager, I said, do you have any water? He said, we have a truck coming with water in it. He said, we're going to limit everybody to 2 cases of water, you know, if you stand in line. So I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and stand in line. So I was in line for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and still no truck came. So I said, well, I'm just going to wait here. All of a sudden, a woman in the middle of the line began to complain. Oh, we've been in this line half an hour, 45 minutes. Ain't no truck coming. Where the truck at? Ain't no truck coming. So she just a fussing. So she with everybody around her, she just began to fuss. She said, you know what? Y'all fools. Y'all standing in this line and ain't no water coming. Next thing you know, she gets out of line and about 5 other people follow. So
come on, Evangelist. Come on.
I scoot up a little bit more. So as she leaving out the door, she said, y'all some fools. Y'all gonna stand in that line. Ain't no truck coming. So next thing you know, I'm number 2 in line.
Come on.
All these
work.
Begin to get out of line because they think, oh yeah, she must be right. Well, they all leave out the door. And what do I hear? Beep, beep, beep. A truck coming in. So you know what the manager did? The manager gets on the overhead and says, for all those who waited for the truck to come, at first I told you you could only have 2 cases of water. But because all those people got out of line, now you can have how many cases you want. Do you
come
know
on,
I'm talking about 8 to 10
wow.
cases? Other people got out of position. And guess what? Not that it wasn't for them, because it was for them if they would have stayed in position. So because they got out of position, guess what? I got their blessing because I stayed in position. I stayed in line. So I just want to encourage everybody on tonight, don't get out of position. Don't let anybody else talk you out of getting out of position. You stay with God. You go with God.
Yes, Lord.
Don't get out of position. Don't let anybody say you must be stupid, because guess what?
Yes,
you won't be number one, or you won't be number two, and you're going to receive their blessing because they wasn't even patient enough to wait.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, God.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good one. Stay in your position. Rabbi, you got anything you want to say?
I just being around people, bring your circumstances will be of those people 9 times out of 10. So when I was growing up in South Central, and when I hung out, you know, with the thugs and the gangbangers and selling dope and all that, I reaped what I sold. I reaped what they sold because we hung out together. And then when I gave that up and moved to the East Coast, to Atlanta, and I brought my brand new wife with me, my brand new daughter with me, and I started hanging around other people, I saw the difference in the overflow. I saw the difference in how you reap now, how you sow now, and what you reap because of it. My mindset changed. My inner being changed. Everything changed about me, and it also changed my surroundings, and it changed the people I was with. Fully understand what you was just saying about the overflow, and it's who you with and who you're hanging out with and who you're doing business with. And so when I started meeting other people, better people, and then started drawing people to my life because of how I live my life, it started overflowing in my life to make me understand that there is a God, and that there is righteousness, there is goodness, there is everything that you need in life, that was whatever I left behind was filled in by God now. And I want people to understand that. Don't think that you can never give up sin. Don't never think that you can give up what is wrong and you know it's wrong. If you give it up piece by piece, God will replace it piece by him and other people in your life.
That's right.
Positive. If you drop
That's
it
right.
all of a sudden, he will supply everything. So whatever you give up, God will put up for you. So to be around people that are positive, man, don't ever put yourself in a position where you're the smartest person in the room, because you can't learn from it. Always put yourself in a position around people that are so positive that you learn from them, and you'll keep learning
Amen.
In life. But the overflow is there. The overflow is, you know, some of us can't explain the overflow. And then when that death drops on you personally, and you are the overflow, it's a total different mindset. But yeah, a great, great word on tonight on the overflow. I think this one probably go on for a couple of 2 more hours.
No, trust me, I got one shot left. But I just want to comment on what the evangelist said and what you were saying as well. And I told Deacon Stanton I was going to share this story with him. I got it in another lesson, but I think it fits good right here. I haven't been golfing in a while, and I was in a bad car accident, so I have a bad back, along with other issues that I have. So I don't even have my golf clubs with me. Golfing the first time with Deacon Stanton. And I told my wife after I was done, it had nothing to do with the golf. But the golf put me in position to find out about the man. Now, I went golfing with him, and he kept telling me, he was giving me instructions on what to do. And to make a long story short, I'm about 50 feet away. Now, he can verify this story, because I know y'all going to think I'm not telling the truth. But there was a shot that I hit. It was about 50 yards from the cup. And I did exactly what he told me to do. And it went up in the air the way it was supposed to go up, came down, and rolled into the hole. Now, for me, I was done. I was through. Now, he'd been coaching me the whole time, about ninth, tenth, I can't remember what it was, exactly what he told me to do. Now, a lot of black men, I've been in church 38 years of my life. I don't know nothing but church. And I've been around a lot of different people. But some of these men, and even with the rabbi, they're not normal. I tell people where I come from about some of these men, and they don't fit the description. Most brothers I know that got a Mercedes got an attitude. They better than you. They're not going to share nothing with you. I'm just being real with you. A lot of brothers in the church that I've been preaching with, raised up with, they're not going to give you nothing. When I got to the golf range, this is what Deacon did. He saw me on my cart because I beat him there. He said, bro, you ain't going to wipe that off? He wiped my whole cart off. I'm not talking about the steering wheel in the seat. He waxed the whole cart off. He washed the whole thing. I'm sitting there and I'm like, this brother is washing. You don't see people do that, especially brothers in the church that I've been around. I ain't talking about. I've been around a lot of folks in the church. They not going to do that for you. And they drive a Mercedes? Come on. And I'm not making the Mercedes as a god or anything, but you know how black people in the church can be up
against. That's right.
They don't want
you
to have the overflow. They don't want you to succeed. They have a crab mentality when they don't want to give you no more information than what you already have. But I was so thankful that he was preparing me for when I go golfing with him before. He was preparing me. And in order to be a man, you got to listen to a man. So when you saying you can't be the smartest person in the room, sometimes you got to surround yourself with people who going to make you a better person.
That's all I have to say about that.
I'm getting ready to get out of here. But there's one more point I wanted to make. I just want to go over my point. Jesus is deeply affected by our predicaments. Jesus requires that we adjust our position. And then when Jesus does a work, we need to accomplish that by a praise. Now, right here, because I've done my homework and I did my research, but if you look in 14, and it says Jesus told the young man to sit up and arise. And he was there, sat up, began to talk, and Jesus delivered him back to his mother. I don't know what the boy said, but he said something. I did my research, Pastor. I can't tell me what he said. I looked in the Greek. Don't no one know what he said when he got up. But he said something. So
I put
myself, and I think I'm allowed to use myself to integrate some words that he may have said to Jesus before he went to his mother. And that is thank you. When he sat up, thank you. Because he was in a dead situation. He didn't have everything. He thought his destination was over with. He thought he was going to the grave. It was over with, but Jesus touched him. He got up, said something, and he got back to his mother. We don't know what he said, but if it was me, and if I was in a dead-like situation, I know what I would say, but I can put myself there because I was in a dead-like situation. I had cancer at one point in time, but Jesus healed me, and the only two words I could say is thank you. When you in a dead-like situation, there ain't but two words you can say when he brings you back from the dead, and that is thank you. So we ought to be thanking the Lord for bringing us out of situations we get ourselves into, and he brings us back from the dead. Only thing you can say is thank you. And Jesus didn't do no tricks. He didn't do no. It wasn't no all. You got to go through all these rituals and do this and do all the run through hoops. All Jesus did was touched him, and he told him to sit up, and then gave him back to his mother. And everyone was at all about that. Everyone started to praise God about that. So I believe that we as Christians, no matter what the situation may be, we need to give God the praise, give him the glory, because when he put his hands on it, that's when it's going to rise up. Until he's ready to put his hands on it, that's when it's going to rise up. I can imagine that woman's feeling when she was going to the cemetery and it was over with. But she didn't know she was going to run into Jesus. She didn't know that she was about to have of her life. She didn't know that. But when he came there and he touched that dead thing and it sat up, changed everything. Only thing I want everyone to know from this teaching that I'm teaching is Jesus didn't jump through no hoops when he did it. He spoke it, he touched it, and he kept it moving. When you get saved or when you get out of the situation you in, you ain't got to run through no hoops. You ain't got to be holier than thou. You just got to thank Jesus and keep it moving and accept him and start doing his will and not your will. That's it. That's it.
Yes,
people don't tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. No. You want to be blessed? Hang around some people and see don't they bless you. Second time I went golfing, Pastor, I'm just going to throw this nugget in there just because I'm just going to throw it in there. I went golfing.
Throw it, Doc. Throw
it. I get there. I ain't got to pay for it. Don't tell my wife. I didn't have to pay for it.
You just told her, Elder.
Yeah, I know. I just caught myself. I talk too much sometimes. Sometimes I just get quiet. Didn't have to pay for it. So when you surround yourself around people, blessings will start to come your way. I say it every time and everywhere I go. I'll be talking about it Sunday. Since I've been at Praise Tabernacle, everything in my life has increased. I ain't just saying that just to be saying it to sound good. It has increased a lot. There's a different me that is going on. And I said the title of this is Making Sense Out of Nonsense. I was talking to my son, and I'm done, Pastor. You can take over when I get through today. My son was very upset. He wasn't upset with me, but he was full of rage and anger, and he was ready to rip somebody's head off. I had to calm my son down. After I get done talking to him, I talk to my wife, and my wife tells me you was the exact same way not too long ago. When you get upset, you just get but you got to learn how to surround yourself around the right people that can help you and that can guide you and that can lead you. It's not rocket science. If you're hanging around the wrong people, you're going to get what the wrong people get. And that's a sermon for another day. I'm done, Pastor. I hope y'all got something out of this lesson. I just ask y'all continue to pray for me, pray for my family. I'm done, Pastor. I'm done.
Wow. Wow, that's great, my brother. I tell you, listen, I know we got the rabbi on here. We got Evangelist Stanton, and my precious wife is on also. Any last, Elder Blewett, do you have any last comment? I know we done talked throughout the whole Bible study, but do you have any last words you would like to give?
I do want to say that when we did go play golf and we spent the day together, me and Elder Oliver and Deacon Stanton, that Elder Oliver was very humble, very, very humble. As a huge man, strong-looking man, very, very humble. And I did see where Deacon Stanton was giving him pointers, and he was trying with all his ability to carry out exactly what Deacon Stanton was saying.
But he's a very humble man. And when you're a humble man, you can take instruction. You can take advice. People can share wisdom with that person. And that's the kind of person we ought to be, where we're humble enough to accept advice from somebody. Like we were saying earlier, don't if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to find another room. I'm so proud of you, Elder Oliver, and what you're doing, what you bring to the table. And matter of fact, what you bring to the table is huge, but you're humble about it.
Yes, sir.
You're humble. And that's an attribute that nobody can take away from you. So as the boy said something to Jesus or said something to the people, it had to have been a praise that the people were broke out before he went back to his mother. And I believe that you are living life that's showing the example of how a man should be. And I appreciate it, brother. Great word on tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. All right. That's from our scholar, Elder Bluette, Evangelist Stanton. I know you spoke so wonderfully tonight, giving so much wisdom. Any last words before we close out tonight?
I would just like to say, when Elder was talking about when he went back to his mother, he may have said, thank you. Thank you can go a long way. Not only is it courteous, you know, when somebody does something for you that you say, thank you. But it was something that I was taught very early in my life by my mother, to when somebody gives you something or when somebody does something for you, you should always say thank you. And it's a reminder to us, as much as God has done for us, when our eyes open up in the morning, our first word should be thank you. When we get up and we move around, our next word should be thank you. When we begin to eat and put on our clothes, our next word should be thank you. When we get in our cars and have a job to go to, even if we don't have a job to go to, our word still should be thank you. We should come before him with an attitude of gratefulness, because he's well able to do anything but fail. Great lesson on tonight, Mr. Oliver. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you for bringing this lesson. Thank you, Pastor.
All right. All right. And my precious wife, baby, I know you're on. Did you have anything you want to say tonight?
Well, praise God. I thank God for the tonight, Elder Oliver. I love the way you teach, but I wrote down a lot of notes. I don't, you know, do a lot of talking or chiming in, you know, because sometimes, you know, I just love to listen. But as you were saying, adjusting your position and adjust the situation, you were saying that, you know, he don't want to leave us in the situation we're in. And that was just confirmation to me, because some things that I was praying about, you know, and God is saying, well, I'm getting ready to turn some things around. As a matter of fact, I'm doing it right now. And as a few examples in the Bible, God didn't leave them there. And I look at Job, the things he went through. And at the end, God changed it. It was double for his trouble. Look at Lazarus. God raised him from the dead. Joseph, the woman with the issue of blood, healed by her faith. There's so many examples in the word of God that he will not leave you where you are. The man that was sitting at the gate called Beautiful, that was lame from his, you know, from his mother womb, you know, God put in position for, I believe it was Peter and John, you correct me if I'm wrong, that was going into the temple and ran into the man that was sitting there as he was asking for, you know, for money. But the scripture was saying, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And after that, the man got up. His situation, his position changed. So, Elder Oliver, I thank you for being obedient to God and giving us that word on tonight, because tonight and for my position has changed, and I give God the glory. Y'all be blessed.
Amen.
All right. All right. That's my baby's mama. That's my baby. Who that is, my baby mama. Amen. And in conclusion tonight, there was one other scripture that, based on what everyone has said, I thought about. I'm working on a message. I've preached it several times. I think if the Lord delays coming, I'll be preaching it again pretty soon, about the 10 lepers. And Jesus sent them to the priest. And as they was going to show themselves to the priest, one noticed that he was already healed and came back. Instead of obeying and doing what Jesus told him to do, he came back to Jesus, and all he could say was thank you. And
amen.
You know, that's a message title in itself. I just came back to say thank you.
Thank you.
And that's what we need to have, a grateful, and I think Evangelist Stanton was saying a attitude of gratefulness or attitude of gratitude. And we can just look down through, as my wife was stating, down through the pages of how Jesus changed situations. And great job tonight, Doc. I don't know why you don't think you can teach. You do such a great job with it, you know. And now that you're a part of us, you ain't got no choice but to develop your teaching, because you already know when the rabbi is on here and Evangelist Stanton, you already know they gonna come with it. So that's why me and my wife, we stay on our toes, because we already know who God has given us to serve in ministry. We can't just come with just no any of them, any little thing. So we can't always just do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. We got to bring the sincere milk of the word, and we're so grateful that God has surrounded. And Elder Taylor, we're missing him on tonight. We know he coached Little League football, and he's the chaplain for his team. So he's yet doing ministry as we excuse me. So we thank you so much, Elder Oliver and Lady Oliver, Chaos Blog Talk Radio, all our listeners, all our family. We got word, Elder Oliver, I think I heard it last night, that Sunday morning, I think 5 or 10 minutes before our, Elder, you correct me if I'm wrong on this, but 5 or 10 minutes before the service started Sunday morning, because there were some members trying to call in, they couldn't get in because we had over 1,600 listeners already on the line.
Yeah. I don't want to sound like we bragging, Pastor, but that has been normal for the last few months now. You know, if you don't get in early, you may not get in, and you got to go to the internet. So, for everyone that's in Praise Tabernacle, especially on Thursday nights, Sunday mornings, if you call and you try to call and your line is busy, there ain't really too much I can do unless I got you, like the pastor. There's a few numbers I got that I can get in. But if I don't have your number, there's nothing we can really do. Unless someone hangs up and you get caught in. But every Sunday morning, I don't even look no more because, I just don't look no more. But your sister texted me about people was trying to get in. And then when I did, they said, well, look, Doc, you got 1,600 people on, and with everyone using the internet, it's kind of hard to get in sometimes. So if you can't get in through the phone line, the best thing is just go through the internet.
Wow. Well, we glorify, we magnify our God, and we thank God for, we are really, it's not about fame and fortune. It's not about money. Our team, our church, our history, God knows to be true. We've never been about money. We never have. It's always, Elder Blewett has been with me from day one, and he can speak on my behalf. We have never, whenever there was a need in the church, we let it be known or what have you. I mean, but we've never had to try to rob. We've never tried to trick folk into giving. We've always been open with the church books, with the finances. So even now, we are grateful to God that we have a harvest of souls that are tuning in to listen on Tuesday night, on Monday night, because Monday night is Elder Oliver and his wife, which is an extension of us. You know, they are a part of us. So Monday night, Tuesday night, there's something going on Wednesday night. Then we have our Thursday night service. Then there's something. Elder Oliver, you got something going on almost every day now, right? Is there something going on every day?
We got every day, but Doc, I had to take Friday off. You know, I had to.
Wow.
Yeah, Friday. We got every day. And, you know,
wow.
I don't want to prolong this, Pastor, but with that text y'all sent out about Black Lives Matter, y'all just saved me because I was about to do some stuff, and it was an eye-opener. I just want to put that out there. So thank y'all for just keeping me well-rounded.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Whoever put it out there, you know, because I appreciate that. I didn't mean to go there, but I just wanted to put that out there. Be careful what you and who you support.
That's right.
You never know the underlying matter of what's going on.
That's right. And that was Evangelist Stanton, if I'm not mistaken, sent that information out. I had already read and heard some things, but I didn't really go into much detail. But I had already talked about necromancy and calling folks from the dead and chanting and things like that. So we thank God for Evangelist Stanton sending that to us so that we can look into it. We shouldn't be marching under any other banner outside of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's just the bottom line. That's just the bottom line. You know, Black Lives Matter, and we are with. Of course, we are. You know, we are African Americans. So yes, we understand. But when it comes down to Christianity, when it comes down to people's souls, we can't just hang in on the black folk. There are white souls that are in jeopardy of going to hell. There are Russians, there are Japanese, there are Chinese that are subject to going to hell. So we can't get let the undertow, and we get swept away from the undercurrent or the undertow, and we miss what's at the surface. So we must be wise. I think the Bible say wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. So, you know, we just thank God. We just thank God for it. So we're going to continue to lift up the name of Jesus. And the truth of the matter is America, more than a skin problem, and I heard somebody say this, more than a skin problem, we have a sin problem. We have a S-I-N problem. And that's what really is going on. Behind all this is demonic forces, demonic spirits, excuse me, that's motivating a lot of this that's going on in our world. But we're not fearful. We're not afraid, because the scriptures already talked about it. So we're going to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and we want everyone to be encouraged. Meet us back here Thursday night. We're going to be preaching, if the Lord delay is coming, we're going to be preaching from the subject, That Made Me Better. That made me better. Not bitter, but it made me better. That I went through made me better. So we thank you so much. Continue to pray for Praise Tabernacle Church. We're yet on the wall, and we're grateful to God. Continue to pray for our leadership team, that we will continue to be the voices that God has ordained in these last days. Father, we thank you once again. We appreciate you. We magnify you. God, we thank you for the word, the taught word on tonight by your servant, and we pray that you will continue to bless him, bless his wife, bless his children, bless his entire family. And God, we just thank you that even though some of us are in dead situations now, our careers are dead, our Someone's marriage is seemingly dead. Someone's relationship with their children, with their family, is seemingly dead. But one touch from you, one word from you can quicken whatever that dead situation is. And that word quicken, we know, means to make alive. And God, we're praying now that one word, that one touch, that the word that came forth, that proceeded forth on tonight, will quicken that dead situation in my brother's life, will quicken that dead situation in my sister's life. And when they are quickened, the word that comes forth, we believe, will be thank you. And after that thank you, we are excited because a praise will continue to perform. A praise will continue to go forth in our mouth, in our lips, with our vessel, with every limb, with every fiber of our being. We will praise you, and we thank you on tonight as we leave this place. Never your presence. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen.